Hey everyone, thanks for listening to another episode of the Hauenstein Center's podcast series, Off the Stage. I am Maddie Miller and I'm the media specialist for the Hauenstein Center. Today I am joined by American social psychologist and author Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure, Maddie. Nice to be back in Grand Rapids and at Hauenstein.
Yes, awesome. So I will say a big part of our podcast series is we always kind of ask random questions at the beginning that are part of our bowl of questions. And normally I do have a bowl, but today we are in a different location. I forgot the bowl. So I'm just going to ask you a burning question that actually our Cook Leadership Academy fellows wrestled with. Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
As a psychologist, I would say no, because I'm going to care much more about the prototype that people have in their heads than I will about any technical definition about meat between bread.
Yes. Okay. Well, there you go. From a psychologist's point of view, the burning question of a hot dog, is a hot dog a sandwich? So that's a good one. So we had the pleasure of hearing from you today at the Economic Club of Grand Rapids, and you talked a little bit about your upcoming book, which is being released on March 26th. Congratulations, by the way. And it is called, for those listening, it's called The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. So I'm really interested. You talked a little bit about it in your talk today. It's really around Gen Z, which is my generation.
That's right. 1996 and later birth years.
Yes. So I was born in 1998. So on the older side of Gen Z. But I would be interested to hear why was this your focus of your next book?
So I was the focus of my next book, and I got a contract for it and they paid me the advance, was for a book called Life After Babel, Adapting to a World We May Never Again Share. And it was about how the changing technology, especially social media and others, are changing society in ways that may be incompatible with liberal democracy as conceived by our founding fathers, who were very concerned about outrage and rumor and emotion and how do you calm those things down. So I started writing that book. And I thought, you know, I'm going to start, I mean, I've been studying all this teen mental health stuff since writing The Coddling of the American Mind. So I'm going to write one chapter on that because I really want to get that in. Like, people need to know, like, look what the first generation that got, that went through puberty on social media, look what happened to them. Their mental health is horrible. What happened? So I wrote that chapter and it was full of graphs showing a catastrophe that began in 2012, plus or minus 1 year. Like, it's I've never seen graphs like this in public health. I mean, it's almost like a virus. It's almost like COVID. Like, COVID came in, there was no COVID before, and then there was a lot of COVID. Like, that's the way it was. In 2012, 2013, 2014. So after I wrote that chapter, then I said, well, I can't just like give all the, I have to say like, why is this happening? And and then I wrote a chapter on childhood, and then I said, well, I actually need a separate chapter on girls because the girl story is very different. And then I need a separate chapter on boys now. And then by the time I got to four chapters, I realized, okay, wait, this has to be its own book. And so my publishers agreed to split into two books. So that's how that came about.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I was like startled by some of the graphs that you shared.
Good, just, that was my goal.
Good, yeah. I mean, it is really sad, but I also can see it in my own life. I mean, I grew up with social media and I've seen those like kinds of effects. One thing you talked about in the luncheon today was kind of what we can do raising, you know, children and stuff. What about for me? Like, what about for the Gen Z? Like, what can I do to improve my, you know, going on?
Sure. Well, first, let me understand. How old were you when you got your first iPhone and how old when you got your first Instagram account?
Yep. So I was very, very late to getting a phone because I had what I thought was back then really rigid parents. So I was the very last person in my grade of 100 kids to get a phone. And I got a phone at 16.
Which is very late.
Yeah. Most of my friends had it way before.
Well, no, did you have a flip phone before then or no phone at all?
No phone at all. Okay. I did have a phone that I was allowed to take over to friends' houses, but I wasn't allowed to use it any other time. And that was a flip phone. And my first phone was a flip phone, actually. And then I got an iPhone at 18. My first Instagram account actually came before I had a phone, which was interesting because I had an iPod Touch. And that was in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you're at least lucky that, so there's research showing that the worst possible age for a girl to be on social media is 11 to 13. Early puberty, that's the key thing. People have to understand, early puberty is when your brain is really rewiring very rapidly, all the way through 15, 16. I mean, it goes actually up to 25, but the real rapid change is, you know, 11 to 15. And so girls who are heavy Instagram users, I am afraid that there will be permanent changes in their brains in the sense that they will now be a little more anxious, more set to see threats, more socially insecure. So, but the human brain is still very plastic, and especially into your 20s. So changes you make now can actually have a big effect. So I teach a class called Flourishing at NYU. I have a grad version for MBA students, but I recently made an undergrad version because the undergrads, like everywhere, have so much mental health issues.
Yeah.
And what we do in the course is we work for the semester to make them stronger emotionally, smarter, and more sociable.
Okay.
Because if they can do those three things, then they will be more successful in love and in work. Love, broadly speaking, relationships.
Yeah.
And if you're more successful in love and in work, then you will be happier. That I can guarantee. So, and they have amazing success. Everyone's trapped by their phones in collective action traps. And I was studying when I asked them, how many of you, if you could snap your fingers and TikTok was never invented, the world without TikTok, would you do it? And almost everybody said yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I would too.
That's right. People are on it because everyone else is. You have to be in the know. But especially, this is what I especially urge, short form video is the worst thing out there. So I asked my students, how about Netflix? Would you snap your fingers and make Netflix disappear? Nobody. Long form video, you know, what we used to call a television program is 24, 25 minutes. That tells a story. That doesn't scramble your brain. But these 15 to 30 second videos, they scramble your brain. Like, it's the terrible, terrible things. So I would say, take control of your inputs, get off social media as much as you possibly can. If you need to check it once a week, fine. Although I guess you have to check it. You have to. So you tell me.
Yeah.
What do you think? Given that you have to be on, first of all, what platforms do you have to be on? And how do you think you can make it less damaging?
Yeah, this is a question I wrestle with a lot because I've gone through periods of time where I've given up social media, you know, for a month or whatever, my personal social media. But I am in media and marketing, so I do have to be on it professionally as well. And I just find like it's hard to like stay up or, you know, stay up with the trends. So I try like implementing limitations for myself. You know, one huge thing, someone recommended this to me, is like not having going on social media like 30 minutes before you plan to go to bed at night. And like, you know, it's those little things. But there are some days where I find my mental health or just how I feel about myself or the world. Like because of something I saw on Instagram. So the you asked me the platforms I'm on. Instagram is the biggest one for sure. I have a Facebook account. I have LinkedIn, which I'm on a lot. And then, you know, I watch YouTube videos as well for sure. So
long or short ones? YouTube Shorts?
I don't do YouTube Shorts as much.
As much.
Yes. I definitely watch Instagram Reels though. So you were saying those short form videos. I am definitely an intaker of that for sure.
Okay. So have you ever seen a dog trainer work? Have you ever seen how a professional or a circus trainer works?
That's really funny you asked me that. I did watch Cesar Millan back in the day when we got a puppy. So a dog, he's a dog trainer. Okay. So yes.
So what they all do is basic behaviorism, you know, B.F. Skinner behaviorism, which is you give a small reward. You don't need a big one. Small reward, tiny little piece of food, but it has to be within a few seconds of the behavior. So if the animal starts moving towards lying down, you say, you know, yes, and you give them a reward. And then before you know it, they're lying down. And then you get them to roll over, and then you can get them to dance on their feet. So you can train an animal very quickly with these quick reward, the quick feedback. The television shows that my generation watched were kind of stupid. Like I Dream of Jeannie is like much stupider than TV shows today, which are much richer. But that was all we had was TV shows. And you can't interact with your TV. So there was nothing that we could get rewarded for. Like you could change channels. That was it. So our TVs weren't training us like a circus elephant. But the things that you're on, they're training you like a circus elephant. They're giving you quick rewards, quick, based on your behavior. You touch. So that's what's really, that's the worst part of the internet. I mean, there are many terrible parts, but try to stay off of those.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think it's interesting that you're telling me all of this stuff because these are things that I actively do in my job. I want to make short form videos because I, as a marketer, I am trying to market the programs we have. So what do you think, like, What's your thoughts on the future of marketing? Like, how do we, you know, how am I supposed to stay up with the world but still market? I think we do really cool things. I make really cool podcasts, and our program managers are putting on great events. And the way to capture an audience is the marketing trends are telling us make these short form videos. So what do you think on that?
Well, so That's a great question. I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the old deal was you have your television programs, then you have these 30-second commercials. Mm-hmm. And the commercials, they convey information. They try to get you to do something, but they're not very powerful. And some of them are good, and, you know. So having some short commercials is just sort of normal for a market-based media environment.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying if kids watch a 30-second commercial, their brain will be scrambled. I'm saying, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm saying if kids spend 3 hours a day on a platform with short video, short content, mm-hmm. they get into a narcotic-like state, and that's what is really doing the damage. So I have no problem with short commercials. I would rather have short commercials than long commercials. So
yeah.
I don't think that's a problem. But as for how to reach people, I mean, the way, you know, the way that I think about it, is, and actually there's this wonderful guy, Martin Gurry, wrote a book called The Revolt of the Public. Okay. He used to work for the CIA. And he pointed out that before the year 2000, you know, people would actually pay for information. Like sometimes like you'd subscribe to magazines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of information out there, but you'd have to like go get it. And sometimes you'd be willing to pay money for it. Mm-hmm. Since around 2000, the internet is so ubiquitous mm-hmm. that what we have coming at us is so much free information, so much stuff
yeah.
that really life is like, how do I keep it out? How do I block? Like, I can't think. I can't keep up with I can't do anything. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So I think that's the context in which I would think as a marketer. When everyone's completely overwhelmed, what can you do? I don't have any good advice for you, but that's that's the challenge I think you face.
For sure, for sure. Sometimes I think about social media in a way of like, if everybody got off of it, that'd be so much easier for me because then nobody was doing it. But it's kind of that fear of like, when I take a break from social media, I'm missing out because everybody else is still
on it. Exactly. And that's the definition of a collective action problem.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, when I said earlier in our discussion, I said, I asked my students if they would prefer to live in a world without TikTok. There was actually, I asked that because there was an experiment published last year by Leonard Burstein, I think was his name, or the last name was Burstein at University of Chicago. And they did this really cool experiment on college campuses where they asked people, how much would we have to pay you to get off of Instagram for a month or TikTok for a month? Mm-hmm. And the average was like $50. Like, you'd have to pay me $50 to get off for a month.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get off because everyone else is on.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, now how about, we're actually trying to get everybody at your school to go off for a month. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, how much would we have to pay you to get off? Mm-hmm. And it went from, you know, you could say thousands of dollars to I'd pay you.
Oh,
and it turns out people would gladly pay for that. If we could just get everyone else off, I would pay you to do that.
Yeah.
Gen Z is trapped. Mm-hmm. We're all trapped, but Gen Z is really trapped.
Yep.
And so it's going to take a collective action movement. It's going to take a movement among Gen Z mm-hmm. to just quit Instagram entirely, stop doing, you know, TikTok especially. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that do the most damage, Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
And you know, the internet is amazing. I'm not saying don't use the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm saying don't use platforms that were designed to manipulate you and keep you on. One of which is literally owned by literally owned by a company that is legally bound to do what the Chinese Communist Party tells it to do.
Yeah.
So it's insane that mm-hmm. kids are being raised by TikTok.
Yeah, for sure. So we're running out of time, but I have one last question for you. So the Hauenstein Center's programming this academic year is centered around the idea of empowered citizenship.
Great.
So, which has been really cool. And it's just thinking about how we can empower others, you know, to be better citizens of our mm-hmm. world and make it a better place, better communities. How do you think that this idea of social media relates to being an empowered citizen? Like, how can we be an empowered citizen and interact with social media in a good way?
Well, I'd say use it a lot less.
Okay.
Yes, obviously it's good for activism, but you know what? Most of that activism is really, really bad. Mm. If you are simply joining movements to change things without understanding them, you're probably making them worse.
Yeah.
That's what we saw on college campuses. The activism on campus since 2015 has really destroyed the environment, destroyed public trust, humiliated the university system.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of, I'm actually an opponent of uninformed activism. Mm-hmm. And if your activism is mostly on social media, probably you're very badly informed.
Yeah.
So, and especially in middle school and high school, just don't do any of it. Don't do any of it. You know, you want something to be an activist about? Be an activist to get kids off social media, because that's what's destroying them. Mm-hmm. So slow down, gain control of your inputs, get some time to think. educate yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're on the left, read the best writers on the right, not the worst ones who come to you, you know, who are sent to you on social media. You know, read National Review, like really smart writing on the right. You know, if you're on the right, well, if you're on the right, you're exposed to stuff from the left. There's an asymmetry there. But still, you know, read the best people on the left. And then I would urge everyone, actually, well, if anyone listening to this has the ability to implement a program for a group of young people, at Heterodox Academy, an organization I created to, I co-founded to encourage viewpoint diversity on campuses, we created a program called Perspectives. And it's now split off into its own nonprofit. But if you go to constructivedialogue.org, you can find the Perspectives program. And it's designed ideally for college freshmen or high school seniors, you know, who are really just getting into political life. They're able to vote. They're maybe they're new on a college campus. And it teaches you the psychology of why we're so close-minded, why left and right disagree, how to start a discussion, how to have a good discussion. So, you know, so it educates you in the relevant psychology, and then it gives you practice having these discussions with other people. So I would urge listeners to go to constructivedialogue.org.
Okay, that's awesome. I used to work for the Center for Civil Discourse at Grand or at Grand Valley, and we used a lot of the Heterodox Academy materials. So thank you for that. Is a great organization. Thank you for taking time to do this short podcast, and thanks for coming to Grand Rapids and sharing your insight. And we definitely look forward to your book release in a month or so, right?
Yeah, on March 26th.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
My pleasure. Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you for listening to Off the Stage Podcast, a series produced by the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies at Grand Valley State University. The Hauenstein Center, inspired by Ralph Hauenstein's life of leadership and service, is dedicated to raising a community of ethical, effective leaders for the 21st century. For more information on our center, our Cook Leadership Academy, or our Common Ground Initiative, visit our website at www.gvsu.edu/hc. To keep up with our current events and reoccurring initiatives, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, all of which can be found linked below. If you liked this episode, consider giving us a review or rating so we can be found by other podcast listeners. Again, thanks for listening to Off the Stage Podcast.